This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And it is also the perfect place for a convention. And right here in our area in St. Petersburg, we have BoucherCon 2018. Oh, it's coming up and everyone is so excited. And of course, one of the stars of the show is my guest today. Well, I have two guests, but one in the studio, and we'll talk to her in a minute. And Lawrence Block is my first guest. Larry, are you there? What? Huh? Did you call him? Do you have a number? Hold on. With me, I have Lori Roy, who is also going to be at BoucherCon, right, Lori?
Yes, I am. Looking forward to it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, you are also a member of
Sisters in Crime.
Sisters in Crime. And you're the treasurer?
I have served as their treasurer for the last 5 years, so I'm on the board of the organization.
Yes?
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you have your, one of your events, you have your board meeting during the BoucherCon, right?
We do. Every year at BoucherCon, we hold a day-long board meeting, and we also hold a breakfast for all the SINC members can participate in that, which that's always a lot of fun, too. And that's when we vote in the new board at that breakfast.
Okay. And do we have Lawrence on?
We do.
Hey, Larry, are you there?
I am.
Okay. Larry, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I can hear you now. Okay, well, I'm sorry we got a little delayed there. I have in the studio with me Lori Roy. She's a two-time Edgar Award-winning author who's going to be at BoucherCon. And, of course, you have won it four times, I think, and I can't even start on how many awards you've won. How are you doing?
Doing fine, Patsy. I just got back from a cruise, and I'm glad to be home.
Well, you know, Larry, I was thinking about you. I just noticed that there are supposed to be 195 countries in the world, and I think you've visited over 160 of them, right?
Actually, the Travelers Century Club list runs a little over 300.
Whoa.
So I've been to about half.
So did you have a good trip, this most recent one?
We did. It was the Holland America cruise of the North Atlantic, and one thing that particularly endeared it to us was that it left from and returned to Boston, so we didn't have to get anywhere near an airplane.
Oh, that's nice. That makes it easier.
It does.
So, wow, we're excited that you're going to be down here for BoucherCon 2018. And, of course, it's always an event that writers from all over the world participate in this event.
Yes, indeed. And I remember when BoucherCon was a very small affair. It's grown to an extraordinary conference. It's held, as you know, in a different city, a different part of the country every year. So each year the host city committee has to essentially reinvent the wheel, but it works pretty smoothly.
Well, it's exciting for our area. Now, did you actually know Mr. Boucher?
No.
Now, he was on the West Coast.
Yes, indeed. He reviewed a couple early books of mine, but aside from that, no, I never had contact with him.
Now, the sort of ghost honoree at this event this year, every year, a former famous thriller writer is the ghost at the convention. So who is it going to be this year?
I have no idea.
It's John McDonald.
John McDonald.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, well, that would make sense.
Now, did you ever met him?
Yes, I met him once or twice, and had occasionally exchanged a letter or two with him.
Well, if he is going to be a ghost at a hotel, the Vinoy Hotel is the perfect hotel for it. It's a beautiful hotel.
That's good.
It's an old-fashioned hotel. It's exactly the kind of hotel that I'm sure he will enjoy being a ghost in, right?
Absolutely.
One can but hope.
One can hope. Now, it's funny, of course, with the new book coming out in January, everybody is very excited that Scudder is back and that you are, again, I don't know, you know, you're like nonstop writer, and it's always so exciting when you have a new book coming out.
Well, I don't think of myself as a nonstop writer. I think of someone who decided to retire and has made a complete mess of it.
Well, I think all of your fans will agree that everyone who knows your work knows that Matt Scudder is, I think, of all of your characters, he's the one that we just enjoy knowing so much over the years, and the development in him as a character and his development has been so fascinating.
Well, thank you, Patsy. You know, when I started writing about Scudder, and that was in the early 70s that I started writing, the first book, I think, was published in 75 or 6, and was written a couple of years before that. And when I started, I had no thought that he would change or age or anything else. I thought he would just sit on the same bar stool in Armstrong's until I stopped writing about him. But it just didn't work out that way. He's aged in real time, so he's now just about 80. And I'll tell you, aging in real time, I think, I don't know whether that's a good idea for a character, but I think it's a hell of a mistake for a living human being. I'm sorry, I've aged in real time. I wish it had taken a little longer.
Well, with you, it's just wonderful that the books keep coming and that the ideas keep coming, because I think ever since we started with The Sins of the Fathers, it's just been one wonderful ride after another.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, for me, whenever I think of you, I think of New York. And because I love books set in New York. And so your love, I think, of New York comes through in your books.
I suspect you're right. Almost all of my books are set to one degree or another in New York.
Yeah, you've had a few forays here into Florida every once in a while. But this element of New York takes on its own personality in your books.
People have said that to me, and actually, it's probably a different personality in different books. Bernie Rodenbaugh's New York is a very different place from Matthew Scudder's New York. The streets are all in the same order and that sort of thing, but there's a different ambiance.
Now, when you're thinking about your characters, when you're thinking about, for example, Matt Scudder, when you know him now so well over the years, you've developed him so much as part of you. When you go back to the very beginning, just the name Scudder, where did you come out with that name?
I don't know. When I started writing the first book, I'm sure.
I was thinking about it recently because my son is in Wisconsin. There's a... The Scudders are a very famous family, actually out of New York, too. And I thought, gee, I'd love to buy you a gift from one of there's a very famous Scudder named Janet Scudder, who did, she was a sculptress, and she did a lot of beautiful sculptures. And I thought, whoa, I would just love to, you know, I thought, what if somebody was going to give you a gift, to give you a gift from somebody named Scudder would be just perfect. And so I actually looked at it. I said, well, Jen Scudder, you know, she's not that famous. I hadn't heard of her. And then I did some research. And it's so funny. I discovered that she actually was a great sculptress. And her work is quite expensive. So I'm not buying you a Scudder anytime soon.
That's all right. I think I can learn to survive without
She's actually in the museum there, in New York City, and you can see her work. But I was thinking, it's interesting how you pick up a name and then it becomes so much a part of America now. People know Matt Scudder, and so when I saw that, suddenly there was this big benefit for a 200-year anniversary of the Scudder family. I was wondering if, you know, they should induct you as an honorary member of the Scudder family.
I think it's not that uncommon a name. I think there are quite a few Scudders around.
Well, it certainly is a name that's taken on a special place, I think, in right, Lori?
Oh, sure.
It doesn't matter what type of writer you're talking to. It might be somebody doing mysteries, thrillers. It doesn't matter. They all know Matt Scudder. And that's something so special. So few authors come out with somebody that really lives forever. You know, people will be looking at Matt Scudder forever because he has set a certain tone to New York City, too, that we will always look at New York in a way through Scudder's eyes.
Well, always is an awfully long word, Patsy. I expect that the work may survive for a while, but nothing lasts forever.
Well, who knows? Dickens did. We still look at London so much through how Dickens portrayed it and at that period of time. So in a way, it does last forever. If a writer does something really great, some really fine writing like you do, that it does stay forever because it sets people's minds in a certain direction and they visualize because you're a very visual writer. When you write something, we really can see it. We feel like we're walking the streets with you. I think it does last forever.
Well, thank you very much. I will tell you that I never expected to write the new book. I thought I was quite finished, and it's been quite a while since the last book in the series, or the last book before this. But I had a really good time writing A Time to Scatter Stones. That's the title of the new book. And I'm really looking forward to its publication. It's coming from Subterranean Press, as I think you know. And they do such a wonderful production job. And they're doing only a hardcover edition. Hardcover limited, which is just about sold out, and a hardcover trade edition. And after that, I retained the paperback and ebook rights, so I'll be doing those myself.
Well, one of the things, of course, you are really great at marketing your books and marketing yourself, and I think you, as an author, have. Right from the beginning with the internet, you've done a very smart and intelligent website so that people can go there and find your books easily and purchase them directly from your website. And I've told you know, my listeners that they should actually, this is a perfect time for them to start the Matt Scudder novels really from the beginning. And you have them all listed there, and people can just go to the website, and it's lawrenceblock.com, and go to the different pages, but there's a special page for Scudder, and all the books are listed in order, and people can order them.
Thank you. Also, there's one page on the website devoted to audiobooks, because I was astonished to discover that I have, at present time, over 100 titles available in audio.
And some of them, of course, you did yourself. A few.
And there are quite a few more recent ones that I've published myself in partnership with voice artists. So it's something to do when I get up in the morning.
Well, I like listening to the ones that you've done particularly, but you do have your other voice artists narrators that you have. I have also managed to capture. I think they capture your voice, so it's your voice is really the voice of your characters.
Well, thank you. I'm a great fan of the audiobook medium as a publishing area. I'm not a listener of audiobooks. I don't absorb information that effectively myself. I'd rather read a printed or online book. So it's difficult for me to know what's good or what's not in audio. Another thing I've found, Patsy, is that different readers have very different tastes as far as the nature of narration. Some prefer their audiobooks to be quite dramatic with very different voices for all the characters. Some prefer a flatter, less articulated reading. So it's interesting, the whole business.
And it's certainly, I think, for so many people nowadays, as they're traveling, as they're, you know, on a plane or on a train, which I know you're going to be on coming down here to Florida, it's just easier if you tend to get car sick when things are moving, to have an audible book. And I've never been.
It's easier if you're driving.
Yeah, definitely if you're driving. But I wasn't really a great fan of audible books until I listened to Amor Towles' book, A Gentleman in Moscow.
Oh, that's a wonderful novel.
It is. And then once I heard it, you know, as an audible book, it just added a dimension. So I always, you know, I of course read the books because I just love books, but I do have more appreciation now for audible books. And so I do encourage people, you know, it's a great way to start an author. If you're not familiar, you might want to start with an audible book, but of course, get the book too. I like to have both. It's funny. I like to have both. Once you hear an audible book and then you read the book, it sort of double clicks in your brain, and I like that.
Well, yeah, I like it too. I think we should mention one medium that's absolutely new to me and that I find myself absolutely delighted with, and that's the graphic novel. I had no experience with them, and 8 Million Ways to Die, the fifth book in the Scudder series, was recently adapted, and it's the most extraordinary accomplishment, all credit of which goes to the adapter and artist, John K. Snyder III. It's superb. He manages to get a long book into a fairly short space without leaving out much at all. He manages to get the tone of Scudder and the look of Scudder's New York and all of that right there on the page. It's 8 million ways to die, the graphic novel, and I feel comfortable recommending it strongly.
Well, again, that's available on your website.
It's available on my website. It's available on Amazon. It's available on
every place. Every place books are sold.
And it's even available in comic book shops, of course.
Now, of course, we're happy that you're going to be here at BoucherCon and getting to, talk to so many authors about writing. Everybody always wants to hear from you because, of course, you've written several books about writing that have become actually the textbooks for in many universities, I think.
Some, yes, I guess that's true. I never know how useful a book on writing is, but the feedback that I've gotten over the years has been very gratifying.
And from Plot Pixel, one of the best writing books of all.
Well, thank you.
Now, when you are going to be here, I'm just trying to think. I'm so overwhelmed, really, at the thought of having you here because, you know, having over the past few years when you've been a guest here on the program, I don't know if I've managed to tell you how very, very important it's been to me to have you as a guest. Because
you're very kind.
You know, when I started the program, I didn't know what I was doing, and I still, it's funny, I still get nervous when I like talk to you because of all of the authors I talk to, you and Carolyn Hart have been both, of course, Mystery Writer of America Grandmasters, and you both have helped authors so much over the years. And you've also been so kind to me, just bringing, you know, wonderful guests to me. And I just want everybody to know how very, very much I appreciate everything you've done for Joy on Paper. Because what I'm trying to do here is to help authors to find a way to promote their books. And not just famous authors. It's wonderful to have you and all of the great and wonderful famous authors that you have brought to me. And, you know, I just love it so much. But it's also the other authors who need help. And so that's why I enjoy doing Joy on Paper. And I know for so many authors I have spoken to and who have been on the program, they always tell me how just wonderful you have been to them, how encouraging, how kind, how generous you have been to them.
Are you sure? That doesn't sound like me at all.
Oh, no. You know, Wallace Strobe was on the program last week, and we spent half the program talking about you. Because he just admires you so much, and you have been...
Wallace is a terrific writer. His books are a joy.
And he's going to be here for BoucherCon, and I know he's looking forward to seeing you again, and I'm looking forward to meeting both of you, because it's funny, I've talked to both of you now so many times on the radio, and I know your books so well, because I've been reading, I've been reading since I was a kid. I don't know if I ever mentioned to you, actually, my very first adult book that I ever read was a Perry Mason book. So you can see I have been into crime fiction since I was 5 years old. And
You read a Perry Mason book when you were five?
When I was five. I started reading when I was three. At five, I surprised everyone. My mother was playing cards with Pinnacle, with her friends. Mm-hmm. And they were sitting at, around the Pinnacle table. And they started talking about a Perry Mason book, and I started telling them the entire story. And they thought it was a joke. And only my mother looked at me and gave me a wink, and she realized Yes, I had read her book, which I wasn't supposed to. But by then, of course, I was reading, you know, Nancy Drew by the time I was, I think, 4 and a half. So you can see all the, since then I've read thousands and thousands of books, including, at some point I started reading you, I think, early. A lot of the guys, I'm going to say this, you know, I come from northern Michigan.
I didn't know that.
I'm a Youper. And, you know, up north in northern Michigan, we live in little towns or on farms, but we also have a camp, a place we have to get away from people. And we have a camp where we go. We call it a camp. It's always a cabin. And I would say, you know, the guys always had a lot of your books, which might not have been appropriate for a young girl to be reading. But I was reading your...
Well, it didn't hurt you a bit.
No, it didn't hurt me a bit. And so I've been reading your books too, so it's so funny. And then of course it's just part of the fun of doing this program, and so that's why I want to thank you so much for everything you've done for me.
Well, it's always been a pleasure. I think your program's a delight, and I'm always happy to be on it.
And of course you've been here for Alive in Shape and Color and in Sunlight and in Shadow, and I know you have another anthology coming up.
I do. I have two in the works, as a matter of fact. One is called From Sea to Stormy Sea, and it, again, is stories inspired by paintings. In this instance, all paintings by American artists. And the stories, it's just shaping up. The stories have just been coming in, and they're wonderful. So I'm pleased with that. Another anthology, which Subterranean will be publishing, is called At Home in the Dark. And the common denominator there is that the stories are all dark stories.
Well, of course, we will arrange. Again, I love these relay interviews where we have a bunch of you on all at the same time, and so I can talk to you. So I will have you back for those two books. And then I have a great idea, I don't know, for another anthology. Did you realize that Boucher is considered, his story about the locked room is considered one of the best locked room stories?
Okay.
And of course, there have been some really great locked room stories. You should maybe do an anthology of locked room stories.
I don't think so. There is a wonderful anthology of locked room stories published fairly recently by my friend Otto Penzler, and it's really the last word on the subject.
Okay, well, I didn't get that one yet. Why not?
Somebody
has to tell me about these things. Okay, well, then I will look forward to your other anthologies that are coming up, and of course we'll have you back then. You know, in January, with the new book, and meanwhile, I look forward to seeing you here at BoucherCon.
Well, terrific, Betsy. I look forward to it, too.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special.
Support Joy on Paper and local authors. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code PATSY, P-A-T-Z-I, or call 1-800-871-1543. That's 800-871-1543.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I have in the studio with me Lori Roy, who is a 2-time Edgar Award-winning author, and we're going to be talking about her newest book called The Disappearing. Hi, Lori.
Hello. Pleasure to be here.
Okay, well, let's talk about the new book, which just came out in July.
Yes.
And July 17th. Whoa, it's quite a big thing. It's like giving birth to a baby. It's a month old. You can sort of take a deep breath and
a little bit. I have had a lot of fun traveling around doing several book events and events such as this. And it's about a year and a half, 2 year long
gestation
process that culminates in launch date. So it's been a lot of fun.
Well, it's nice that it's coming out just before BouchaCon.
Yes.
So you have...
Yes, good timing.
Great, perfect
good
timing. So you have something there to talk about. And
yes, always look forward to BouchaCon. It's a great, great way to connect with readers. As Lawrence said, it's in different parts of the country each year. We were in Canada, actually, last year. And so it's a great way to connect with readers and other writers. You see your writer friends at least once a year at BoucherCon. And so this year it's in St. Pete. Really looking forward to it.
Well, I think it's always so much fun to get together with other authors. And, of course, at BoucherCon, you also, their public is coming to see you and
yes.
To take part in all of the events. Now you are going to be on a panel.
I am on a panel. I believe it's titled "Women Who Thrill." So thriller writers, obviously, and so I'm actually on that panel with a fellow Dutton author, Meg Gardner, who has got her Unsub series, which is out. I think she's getting ready to come out with the third book. Has been wildly successful, so come see Meg and I both on that panel, among others.
Okay, now well, tell us a little bit about The Disappearing, because it is a complicated book in many ways. You came out with a very intriguing story, and it's based here in the panhandle of Florida. Tell us about it.
Yes, it is. It's my first book in Florida. I've lived here in the state for 20 years, but I wanted to get to know it before I ventured into
because
the territory.
Because I was talking to you before the show that I read the book set in Detroit because when I always read books set in Detroit. That's why I gravitate to that because I spent my, from third grade on in Detroit. And so I enjoyed that book, and that was really great. That was your second book.
That was my second, yes.
And so this is your...
This is my fourth. The Disappearing is my fourth novel, yes.
Okay, so tell us about it.
So The Disappearing, I have to kind of remember characters' names here as I'm talking on my feet, tells the story of Lane Fielding. She wakes one morning in the small town of Waddell, fictional town in the panhandle of Florida, to discover her 18-year-old daughter is not at home where she should be. And at first, Lane dismisses it as teenagers being teenagers, recently graduated from high school. And as the police get involved and some facts come to light, Lane begins to fear that a serial killer, such as the one who struck that part of the country back in the 70s, the whole town, in fact, is fearing that another serial killer has set his sights on the town because 10 days earlier, another young woman about the same age also disappeared. And as more facts continue to come to light, Lane's forced to face the fact that her daughter's disappearance may be revenge for crimes that Lane's father committed while he was the director of a local boys' reform school. And worse yet, Lane fears her 10-year-old daughter may be the next target.
And from there,
that's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful, and that's the mystery that will keep us going.
Yes.
Of course, I have to say that Michael Connelly calls you a most elegant and enchanting writer.
Yes, you called my work elegant and enchanting.
Well.
Yes, I was very generous. I had several very generous
words. Well, you're also elegant and enchanting.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yes, Michael was kind enough to read an early edition, as were several writers, and shared some very kind words of praise, which is very generous for authors of that.
Yeah,
successful to lend a hand to those of us a little bit newer in the biz.
Well, that's the kind of thing that Lawrence Block does.
Absolutely.
He's always willing to help authors to get ahead. And it's wonderful that you get noticed by these authors who are, we're talking 100 million books. Some of them are approaching 200 million books easily. Which is a lot of books.
And it also makes them very, very busy people.
Yes, they are.
So to carve out that kind of time I makes it all the more generous.
Yes, but in the end, it's part of the whole thing of writers are readers. Writers love to read. And that's the only way. I've been doing a lot of Facebook, and I get these questions from people. Well, I want to write. And then I say, but who's your favorite author? And they don't really have a favorite. Well, they don't read enough. I mean, you have to read well in order to write well.
Yes. Yes. Well, very important. That's one of the first pieces of advice anyone will get it's not only reading what you love, but, expanding your interest, because reading what maybe doesn't work for you can be just as helpful, if not more helpful. So that's always a big piece of advice.
Well, so now you went the traditional way. You went from writing a book to doing a query letter.
I did. It was actually Bent Road, which would ultimately be my first published novel. It was actually the third that I wrote. The first two have gone through a shredder since. I never tried to publish the first two that I wrote. And Bent Road, I was a query in a slush pile. And funny enough, the agent that I ultimately signed with is named Jenny Bent. And the book was already Bent Road when I signed with Jenny. And then,
well, I'm sure it must have attracted her attention, though.
The coincidences continue, because then the editor at Dutton, which purchased the book, was named Denise Roy. My name is Roy, obviously, and no relation. It was just this crazy.
Well, I call them the magic threads, because that's happened
magic
here.
Threads.
That it's happened the same with this show, that I will be talking to a writer or I will get their book, and then it turns out that I've actually lived in this place that they're writing about, or I've been in that restaurant where they have their major scene. It's funny. Jill Block, Lawrence Block's daughter, wrote a book, and it's set in New York. And like every 20 pages, she's in some place that I've been to.
And that,
it was really so lovely. And there was one particular restaurant called Sign of the Dove, which was a romantic restaurant in New York. It's since closed down. The owner passed away. But she has a major scene in that book. And I'm like, I I think I was sitting in that exact chair, you know,
with that exact view of the street.
Yeah, it's I love all of those little magic threads that weave us all sort of together.
Oh yeah, they spring up.
So it's Jenny Bent, right?
Jenny Bent is my
agent. She got a query letter from you. And was it a brilliant query? I mean,
no, you know, it was not.
That's what I do know one author, and this is a true story. There is an author. She's been on the program, and she actually proved it to me. She wrote a query letter. She had written for years many, many query letters, and then gave it up. And then one day she wrote a query letter, one sentence after the name, dear, and then one sentence. And she got a contract based on that one sentence.
And I'm guessing she wrote a great book, too.
She did write a great book.
Well, there's actually an interesting story behind getting in contact with Jenny Bent. At one of the first writers' conferences it was the first writers' conference I ever went to, I met a Swedish writer who was in my class, and we kept in contact via Skype. You know, we could talk once a week, she living in Sweden and me here. And she knew I was getting ready to query Bent Road, and she reached out one day and said, hey, this agent that I followed for years has just gone out on her own and started her own agency. You ought to think about querying her. And an interesting thing, if you follow an agent and you follow the work they represent, if you find one you like, you'll find lots of books that you like, because agents tend to sort of have their strike zone with respect to what they represent. So based on my Swedish writer friend mentioning this agent who she saw in some, you know, industry publication, had started her own agency, I reached out to Jenny, and one of her interns actually plucked the query letter out of the email box, shared it with Jenny, and then went on to do the manuscript request and so forth. So I was the first writer under Jenny's new letterhead, so to speak. She had left another, where she was vice president of another agency. That's another one of those threads. My friend who lived over in Sweden made this suggestion, and I've been with Jenny for, actually just finished my fifth book, so...
Well, she's done a marvelous job with you.
She has.
And to get, you know, for everyone out there, to be an Edgar Award winning author is a really big deal. I mean, and to get it twice.
It was a great time. Yeah, just the opportunity to go to the Edgar Awards, the event, and all the events surrounding it. And I've actually been three times. I won two of the three. The second book, I didn't come away a winner, but just to be a part of the event is great fun, meeting lots of new people, and it's the Mystery Writers of America puts on a beautiful event every year.
And who presented you with?
Mary Higgins Clark presented me with my first Edgar, and that was thrilling. She was very sweet when she... There's various categories at the Edgar Awards for those who aren't familiar with it. You know, best short story, best nonfiction, best anthology. So there's various categories. And best first novel is the second to the last. So it's been a long evening, of course, very nervous, my first time there. And she was standing on stage, and she had it's an envelope, just like at the Edgar or the Oscars. And she starts to open it, and the winner is, she announces the nominees. So she said there's nominee, and she'll say each of their names. And as she says each author's name, their table and their publishing friends all hoot and holler. And so as she gets ready to announce the name, she says, well, and the winner is, and then she pauses, oh, you all are just such a raucous bunch. And I just remember thinking, please, Mary Higgins Clark, read the name. So it's a great memory, and so I have a very nice picture with her, and it's in my office, actually. That's a great memory from that first time.
Well, that is exciting.
Yeah.
That's
it was great fun.
So now you, of course, the wonderful thing, you got your first book deal, and that went well.
Yes.
And they gave you a second deal right away, or did it take time? Or?
Well, I was a one-book deal, so then I just set about working on my next book. And I probably take around 2 years to write a book. And then
because I like just, in this book, you had quite a bit of research to do here in the background of the panhandle.
Yes, with all of them, I do a lot of research. And that's just, every writer has his or her own vibe, so to speak, the way they approach their work. And that's just how it's worked for me. Before writing, I was a tax accountant. It's probably 15 years since I was really doing that. But that's a very pretty, well, I say disciplined field. There can be some creativity in tax accounting as well. But it is a very kind of buttoned down field. You have your spreadsheets and everything is ticked and tied and double checked. And you have to cite, all the tax law that you're using. And I thought that would be my approach as a writer. I envisioned having detailed outlines and character sketches, and my office would be very organized. And it's not that way at all. And it took me a few books to just accept that it's controlled chaos is what I call it. I don't outline. I don't have character sketches. My research is all over the place. I can never find anything when I want it. But somehow in the end, eventually it all clicks. And so I give in to the chaos. I've learned that. So that's just how it works for me. It's not necessarily, you just have to figure out what works for you as a writer.
And so now you're in sort of editing mode for the new book coming up?
Yes. This is my first time this next book will actually come out in about a year. And it's my first time having the experience of launching one book while I'm working with my editor on the next book. So I'm juggling two storylines, two sets of characters, but we're very near the end of the editing process. Knock on wood. I'm looking for wood to knock on. It's been a new challenge for me this time around, juggling both of those responsibilities, but no complaints. Uh-huh. It's all gone I've enjoyed it.
And it's exciting. Now, of course, you mentioned that you've done some touring. Has that come through your publisher? Or
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so. I have. Dutton is
good.
Really, really amazing group, and their publicity department has done great things for all my books. I've been very, very fortunate in that respect. Very professional, very proactive. And now that this is my fourth book, I have bookstores that I've visited, with all of my books. And that's always fun to go back and see folks again. And so, yeah, it's been a busy but great month.
And you're doing some Facebook. I got to see you and Lisa Unger doing a Facebook Live. That was really great.
Lisa Unger, you'll find her. I think it's author Lisa Unger is her author page on Facebook. And once a week, she's been doing Facebook Live events. And I think this Thursday, I believe at 11 o'clock Eastern time, she's going to be broadcasting from the Vinoy, where BoucherCon will take place. So I encourage everybody to check out Lisa's Facebook page and confirm that time. And then it's also on her Facebook page. If you can't watch her live, it continues to be there. And Lisa and I our chats out there as well as others. She was with Colette Bancroft, Tampa Bay Times book reviewer, last week. She's doing some cool stuff over there.
And do you enjoy that part of it?
I do.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun, Lisa and I. And I do. It's a chance to step out from behind the computer because it's a very solitary, obviously, it's a very solitary role. Particularly being in the midst of editing, which is when I'm editing, I'm doing that all day long. It's not first draft writing. A couple or 3 hours is about the most I can get in. But So it's fun to get out and do something different.
Now you have a web page?
I do, LoriRoy.com. And I'm also, I'm easy to find on social media.
It's Lori, L-O-R-I.
L-O-R-I, yes.
And Roy, it's easy?
Yes.
LoriRoy.com. And you have a very nice web page, and it has there, right? Right at the beginning,
yeah.
Michael Connelly.
All my blurbs right there, yeah. Front and center.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yes.
And it's a great place for you to have a look and see what Lori's been up to. 4 books already. That's exciting. And now BoucherCon coming up.
Yes.
Pretty busy schedule.
Yes, BoucherCon starts, let's see, a week from this Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And I believe I'm on the panel, I believe it's Saturday morning at 10, but the whole schedule is out, BoucherCon2018.com. Lots and lots of great authors and a lot of very interesting panels. They've done a great job with that this year. So there's something for everyone out there.
Exactly. And, of course, Lawrence is going to be there. So that's Larry Block, his daughter Jill Block, Lee Child, just so many authors are going to be at.
Yes.
It's going to be exciting. I think they have over 1,500, maybe almost 2,000 people attending this year.
I haven't heard the number, but I'm not surprised.
And as everyone who's ever been to the Vinoy knows, it is a perfect location.
Yeah. I've also been, if you pop onto one of my Facebook pages, I've been sharing recommendations of things to do and see in and around the Vinoy, restaurants, place to get gelato, something to do with your free time. So if you're coming in for it and you want a little some insider information, I've been sharing that as well.
Okay, that's wonderful. Well, I want to thank you for coming into the studio today. It's always so much fun for me to have, guests.
Absolutely.
Here in the studio. And we will look forward to seeing you at BoucherCon. And everybody, go to Lori's webpage and have a look at it and order some of her books online. And it's just so exciting for an author, this period of time when their books come out and they're out there and they need reviews on Amazon.
Oh,
and
yes.
So we want to encourage people, get the book and do a nice review. It really helps. And it's just a wonderful thing to do for an author.
Absolutely. Great advice.
Okay. And as I say to everyone, one of the greatest joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or maybe if you're lucky, somebody in Hollywood will pick up your book and then they will say, lights, camera, action, and you will hear your words spoken on the big screen or even the little screen. And I hope that will happen for one of our favorite writers, Carol J. Perry. I am calling Hallmark saying, oh, please pick up Carol J. Perry. Her characters are so wonderful. They belong on Hallmark Station. So, and those are the Witch City Mysteries. So that's also something. Carol's going to be at BoucherCon, and she's also going to be here September 25th when her newest book is going to be released. And meanwhile, just say something nice to somebody today, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed. And he's saluting me, and I'm saluting him. Bye-bye now.